This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Lots of intrigue around NBA free agency. Officially begins tonight at 6 p.m. It is Chris Carlin, Bart Scott. I'm Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. I'm in for Alan today. And the Goodyear Hotline is where we go to welcome in the great Stephen A. Smith. Talk a little NBA free agency. Stephen A., we appreciate the time. How you doing?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Maintaining, man. I'm excited about this free agency.
Do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
We can hear you. I think Bart's mic was off for a second.
I didn't hear y'all. How you doing?
No, we're good. I think Bart's mic was off. Go ahead, Bart.
Well, Chris, quit pushing the button to shut me up, man. I know I talk a lot, but damn, let me breathe a little bit. I say we're all excited a little bit about what happens after the Kyle Lowry domino falls. You know, how do you see him affecting the market, and where do you see some of these secondary pieces going that can maybe potentially be the final pieces or the necessary pieces needed for a championship team?
Well, I really don't see him having that much of a profound impact the way others may label it. I mean, Kyle Lowry is a champion. He's a rugged, you know, tenacious defender, and really an experienced point guard with tremendous poise that belongs in this league. And so he's probably going to pocket anywhere from 25 to 30 million. He's looking for more than a one-year deal. Most teams are looking to give him a one-year deal. I know that the Knicks had him on their radar, but I'm one of those guys that when I think about the New York Knicks and what they may need from the point guard spot, I even like a guy like a Spencer Dinwiddie more so than a Kyle Lowry, because I think long-term, you know, he's obviously has more size on him. He can hit perimeter shots as well. He has scoring ability. He was hurt last year. None of us expect him to remain in Brooklyn. And I think it's one of those situations where you look at him, and if you're the New York Knicks and you can get your hands on somebody like that, I think that'll be a plus. But Kyle Lowry, in all likelihood, Miami's a target. I don't think he wants to stay in Toronto. I don't think he will stay in Toronto. You know, there's the other couple of other places he could potentially land. But obviously, that's what it's looking like right now. And I don't think that a whole bunch of people are waiting around to see what happens with Kyle Lowry before they do anything. I think if they are doing that, it's all about the price tag, because obviously, as you know, Bart, the market dictates a lot. And so that's what we've got to pay attention to in terms of the kind of money people are going to feel that they deserve based on what other players playing their position may get. And that's what you got to look out for, but not much else.
Stephen A., with your Knicks, what's a realistic hope for fans over the next few days? What could potentially land at Madison Square Garden this year?
I think you know, to me, they should try and keep Derrick Rose. You should try to go out and get somebody like Spencer Dinwiddie. You should, get a guy like Mitchell Robinson signed long term. He was hurt last year. I think he would have made a huge difference in the Atlanta series. I think the Knicks would have been good to at least win another game or two if he were playing in that series, because he is a 7-foot shot blocker, and that would have caused some problems for Atlanta in the interior, not just in terms of Clint Capella and the alley-oops or John Collins and some of the things that he was doing, but also some of those floaters in the lane that Trae Young was throwing. I think you would have seen him a bit extended from the basket if Mitchell Robinson was in that middle. You really didn't have anybody but Nerlens Noel, who's not that formidable, let's just be real, because of his lack of girth and what have you. And so I think that if you're the New York Knicks, you got to crawl before you walk. They crawled last year. You crawl a little bit more now. You don't mortgage the farm to go out there and get a marquee number two. The only way you do that is if you get somebody like a Damian Lillard. I'm here to tell you that Damian Lillard, who is a superstar in this league, I think the best thing other than Steph Curry, to be quite honest with you, as a shooting point guard, Damian Lillard really doesn't want to leave Portland, but he's dissatisfied with the way things are. He's resigned himself to the fact that they're going to be what they are, because you're not going to be able to get but so much, so many folks to come to the Pacific Northwest. I'm here to tell you, you had a lot of people throwing out the Lakers and the Clippers and all of this other stuff. If Damian Lillard were to ever want to leave Portland, his number one choice would be the New York Knicks. I'm telling you what I know. I'm not guessing. It would be the New York Knicks. That doesn't mean that's what he's going to demand. It doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen, because, again, his priority is to stay in Portland. But if you're the New York Knicks and you talk about mortgaging the farm, meaning giving up some of your young players or some picks, that's who you do it for. You don't do it for anybody else other than a superstar of his caliber. And I don't think the Knicks are going to do that. So because of that, you go to Ryder Spencer Dinwiddie, and you resign some of the guys that you do, and you make sure that you don't pay Julius Randle like he's the number one. I don't like taking money out of guys' pockets. Yeah. I like Julius Randle a lot. He's the most improved player. He got my vote for that award. He deserves it. But come playoff time, he showed his lack of ambidextrous skills, how he's a one-armed bandit, and that he's severely limited. So he's not a number one. He might not even be a number two. He's definitely an elite number three option, a serviceable to decent number two option, definitely not a number one option. So you give him a four-year extension at about $106 to $110 million and call it a day. And if he demands more than that, you roll the dice and be prepared to move on.
Well, when you talk about Damian Lillard, do you think it's going to come maybe during the trade deadline? He's going to give Chauncey Billups in Portland an opportunity to put some pieces around him. And out there, what can make potentially, him happy out there? You know, I don't think DeMar DeRozan would make him happy. They're probably going to lose Nurkic or Carmelo. So how do they put a team around Dame out there to make him happy?
Well, number one, if they lose Carmelo Anthony, it's going to be to the Los Angeles Lakers. That's right. Where Carmelo Anthony's going to end up going from what I'm hearing. If indeed he departs from Portland, he'll be a Los Angeles Laker. So let's get that out the way. Number two, Nurkic and others might end up staying. I think that whatever move Damian Lillard is going to make, it's going to be before the season. I don't think it's going to be something that's going to transpire in the middle of the year. I think Damian Lillard, if indeed he finds himself insisting on getting out of Portland, he's going to want to do it before the season. And that's why we'll need to keep our eyes on what's transpiring. He hasn't made any decisions. He's been preoccupied with Team USA playing Olympic basketball in Tokyo. But once he gets back, he's definitely going to address that situation with the fervor that it deserves, from what I'm being told. And at that particular moment in time, we'll know definitively what he wants done. Now, just because he wants it done doesn't mean it's going to get done. He's got about 4 years and $176 million left on his deal, and Neil O'Shea and the Portland Trailblazers don't have to capitulate to his demands, whatever they may be. But he'll make a decision as to what he definitively wants as it pertains to Portland, probably once he gets back from Tokyo.
Stephen A. Smith with us, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I just want to go back to what you alluded to there with the Knicks real quick, Stephen A., and you said they wouldn't do it. Is it the thought that they don't want to give up all of those assets right now to go get Dame Lillard if that was available to
them? No.
Yeah.
That's not what I said. I said they wouldn't do it for anyone other than a superstar.
Gotcha.
You see, for a superstar of his caliber, hell yeah, they do it. Yeah. Unless they want us protesting in the street, hell yeah, they do it. Okay, but you're not doing it. You're not compromising what you're building in terms of cap space and accumulating draft picks and improving incrementally to go out there and get the likes of a Kyle Lowry or somebody like that. You're not going to do those kind of things. But to get a superstar the caliber of Damian Lillard, who's going on 32 years of age and has at least, 6 to 7 years left in this league, hell yeah, you do it for somebody like him.
Mm. Steven, I've only been in New York for maybe like 9 years, but I'm used to the Knicks having last pick of the star, right? So they bottom feed a little bit. So I'm trying to look at some creative ways to get a superstar, because every year I've been here, they've been saying, hey, they're rumored to this guy, that guy, Kevin Durant, Irving, LeBron James, and none of it ever comes true. So would you think that maybe out in OKC, Kemba Walker, that maybe if they can give up some picks for Kemba, that maybe OKC will take some of that money back and pay part of that contract?
I can assure you Oklahoma City would take it, but why would you want to do that? Kemba Walker can play, but over the last couple of years, he's had knee issues. And because he has knee issues, it's compromised his ability to be the kind of star that we know he can be, which is why he's no longer in Boston. So I don't think you do that. That's number one. Number two, I would say to you, and it's hard for me to say this, at least once upon a time it was, Bart, but these are not the same old Knicks.
Yeah.
And it's about time that we give them a little credit. And let me throw this out. Dolan, thank God, hasn't made headlines the last 6 months for stupid, petulant, childish things. Okay, like trying to get a 14-year-old or somebody exiled from the Garden. He hasn't made stupid headlines, and he stayed out of the way and has let the basketball people, led by Leon Rose and Scott Perry and Worldwide West, William Wesley, he's let them do their thing. So let's give him credit where credit is due. And the reason why I say let's give Dolan some credit is because the one thing we can never accuse him of is an unwillingness to cut the check. He definitely is willing to cut the check. So now we get to the basketball people. And when you look at what Leon Rose has done, okay, you hire Tom Thibodeau. He was number two for my coach of the year, did a phenomenal job. I just thought Monty Williams deserved it because of Phoenix's level of consistency and them playing in a stronger conference, which is the Western Conference as opposed to the Eastern Conference. But Tom Thibodeau did a hell of a job. The culture and the makeup of this team was changed because you had guys that gave you the impression they're grabbing their lunch pail and they're coming to work. And they played like that throughout the season, hard fought, scrappy, et cetera, et cetera. And give Julius Randle a boatload of credit for that, along with the other guys as well. Okay, they lost in the playoffs because of a lack of skill, but they were still a top four seed in the Eastern Conference, which far exceeded expectations. Now, when you look at it from that perspective, even though Julius Randle is not going to attract stars to come want to come play with him, and his ego is going to have to be submerged a little bit, by the way, because even though he's good, he ain't as good as those guys. He's going to have to accept the fact that he's legitimately not a number one option. In the end, you've got to go out there and be able to get a star that can recruit for you. Their presence in New York City makes other people want to be in New York. And if you don't have that, you bought yourself something by making the postseason, because now the expectation is to be competitive and to take incremental steps to ultimately put yourself in a position where you're competing legitimately for a championship in 2 to 3 years down the road. That's what you're after right now if you're the New York Knicks. It's not a rush to get to that point. You just have to make sure you don't fall off from this year. And if you do that, the city's going to roll with you, and also keep your eyes on Worldwide West, because let's face reality, he's one of the most connected individuals we've ever seen in the history of sports, period, let alone just the NBA. And part of the reason he is here is to go out there and to recruit to get some people to want to come to New York City, not just helping out with the draft, not just bringing dudes from Kentucky, not just doing it from everywhere, because the man knows college basketball back and forth and all of that other stuff. But William Wesley knows the NBA, and he's incredibly connected. And if the foundation is in place, then I think that people do not look at the New York Knicks the same any longer, and they shouldn't. And New York is a far more attractive place, and give all of those guys that I mentioned credit, from Leon Rose to Scott Perry to Worldwide West, William Wesley, right on down to Coach Tom Thibodeau. They deserve a boatload of credit for the change they've created here.
All right, so no Kemba, but will another disgruntled star that wants more respect on his contract, would he fit the bill maybe as being the first superstar to come, the rebirth of the New York Knicks, and a guy like Zach LaVine?
Zach LaVine would have liked to come to New York. Chicago wouldn't let it happen. You know, I was screaming about Zach LaVine coming to New York because he's a Skywalker. And he's a guy that you can bring to the Garden and he can light it up. He's a special talent. I like him. I'm just not sure how willing the Chicago Bulls are willing to let him go. I know for a fact that, you know, come trading deadline, they weren't willing to do that because that was something I was screaming about. I was hoping that that could ultimately happen, but it didn't happen. And that's how you got to look at it. I mean, this kid's a special dude. He averaged 27 last year on 50% shooting, nearly 42% shooting from three-point range. The brother is a special, special talent. Make no mistake about it. The question is, would the Chicago Bulls let him go? Because they're trying to build something, too. And you got to remember that. And they don't have much to lean on their damn self. It ain't like everybody's clamoring to go to the Windy City. Things have changed. This ain't the days of Jordan and all of that other stuff. And in Jordan, he wasn't recruiting people to come to Chicago anyway. And so you got to look at it from that perspective and say to yourself, hey, so Zach LaVine is entering the last year of this deal, paying him $19.5 million. But they've got his rights and what have you, and we'll see what happens.
Stephen A. Smith joining us on the Goodyear Hotline on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What was your takeaway from the Russell Westbrook trade? Were you surprised that he was the guy that they wanted to be the big three out there with AD and LeBron?
Well, I wasn't surprised. I really, really wasn't surprised at all. I recognize the fact that it's something that LeBron wanted to do. And that really is, and by the way, back to Zach LaVine, I think he signed a 4-year, $78 million extension, if I remember correctly, but that's neither here nor there. Getting back to Russell Westbrook, I would tell you that here's the deal. LeBron wanted him, and so Rob Pelinka had to go out and get him. And now you got a three-headed monster. And Russell Westbrook is a superstar, and he's a box office attraction, the most athletic point guard we've ever seen in NBA history. But he still can't shoot the basketball with any degree of consistency from the perimeter. And that's what this really comes down to, where your shooters are coming from. You're going to have to go out there and find them. Because when you run into a healthy Golden State squad with Klay Thompson returning and Steph Curry in the lineup, if you go against a Phoenix Suns team, which is nothing to sneeze at, and they just came off a berth to the finals, Jamal Murray is coming back in Denver, and you still got Jokic and Porter in the crew. Utah is nothing to sniff at with Donovan Mitchell. The Clippers, if they retain Kawhi Leonard with Paul George, a lot of people believe Phoenix would have never been in the finals. It would have been the Clippers, because before Kawhi went down, he was averaging 30 on 57% shooting in the 11 playoff games that he played. And so we got to remember all of that and recognize the fact that the road to prosperity is going to be very, very difficult for the Los Angeles Lakers. And then you're talking about, okay, LeBron's got to give up the ball more and not try to run the offense, because that's not what Russell Westbrook wanted to watch James Harden doing. So he's probably not going to want to watch LeBron do it either. Then you're Anthony Davis. You're being asked to move to the five position, which is a position you've never been comfortable playing. So that's certainly something that can serve as an impediment as well. They're going to be formidable. A lot of people are going to look at them as the favorites. My point is that come playoff time, the game slows a touch. Open court opportunities are not as pronounced as they are during the regular season. On top of all of that, that means defenses are getting back, and they're forcing you to be a half-court team who shoots more jumpers than shots on the interior. And if that's the reality, where is Russell Westbrook going to be then? That is the question. He's better than average. He's better than most. He's not just a star. He's a superstar. But nevertheless, a superstar who dipped 5 points in points per game, even though he improved his three-point shooting from 25 or 26% to like 31%, is still a bit putrid. From the field, his numbers have gone down percentage-wise as well, and he's playing in a conference with a bunch of snipers all over the place, from Golden State to Portland to Utah to L.A. to Denver. Is that going to work? That's a huge question mark. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know the answer to that right now.
So, Steven, I ask you this. More pressure then, right? Because when you go and you link with superpowers, Westbrook, Harden, yep. Westbrook, Harden, who has the more pressure to get that first championship?
Well, you can make an argument for Harden because he's in Brooklyn with KD and Kyrie, and I understand that. And I'm not going to summarily dismiss that because – Harden hasn't gotten it done as it pertains to championships. He's led the league in scoring 3 or 4 times, averaged over 30, went like 5 or 6 consecutive years, averaging 29 or better. He's one of the most prolific scorers the game has ever seen, and without question, a superstar. But he's never gotten to an NBA Finals outside of the time he was Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant's teammate back in 2012. Having said all of that, I am a person that has religiously stated significant pressure. I don't know if there's more pressure on anybody more than Russell Westbrook. And here's why I say this. At some point in time, and, you know, we got into it, you know, not directly, but indirectly through the media and all of that stuff, because he had a game this year, if y'all remember, Chris Bart, when he had 35, 21, and 14. And I went on First Take and I said, I don't care. And people were like, I'm dismissing what he was doing. And I didn't believe they were getting my point. I'm saying you're a walking triple-double. You've averaged a triple-double 3 times. You're phenomenal. We know all of this about you. What else do you got? Because here's the reality. Russell Westbrook has been to an NBA Finals. That was a decade ago. Outside of that, he hasn't been back. Now let's count his teammates. Bart, Chris, if I said to you, I'm Russell Westbrook with this talent, and my teammates were Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka, Reggie Jackson, and James Harden all at the same time. And then after that, it was Kevin Durant with Ibaka and Reggie Jackson. And then after Kevin Durant departed, it was Victor Oladipo. And then after Victor Oladipo, it was Paul George. And then after Paul George, it was James Harden again in Houston. And then after James Harden again in Houston, it was Bradley Beal, who just finished averaging 30. And not only do you not have a finals appearance to show for it, you've been bounced out in the first round four times in the 5 years since Kevin Durant has been gone. And in the midst of all of that, you're in a contract that's paying you $217 million. You're averaging triple doubles. And when confronted with the reality that you are phenomenal and you are great and you're a future Hall of Famer and nobody is denying that, but you were sent home by Donovan Mitchell. You were sent home by James Harden. You were sent home by Damian Lillard. And not only did Damian Lillard send you home in a closeout game six by dropping 50, but when he hit that game-winning launch from near half court over Paul George, he made it a point to wave goodbye to you. All of these things have happened to Russell Westbrook in the last 5 years. Plus, you've been on your fourth team in 4 years. And that's coming off of the reports that Kevin Durant just didn't believe he could win with you. I'm sorry. That equates to pressure. And when you look at it from that perspective, at some point in time, you got to answer the call. And when I brought that up, he said, people throwing shade on me, blah, 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 blah. He said, I'm a winner in life. I'm a champion in life. He said, hey, I've seen championships don't mean anything to me. I'm quoting him. Championships don't mean anything to me. He said, I know plenty of champions who are left happier than me. So I'm good. That might have been fine. In Houston, OKC, Washington, fellas, that ain't going to work in L.A. with the Lakers. Oh, the championship matters. That's all that matters to this franchise. Its history says so. And he's going to have to answer that call. Now, if he doesn't, he'll sleep well at night. He'll go home and live his, you know, good life and all of that stuff, just like he said. But to the rest of us who chronicle the sport and watch it and observe it, this is the narrative, and it's inescapable.
This is why we watch First Take. This is why we watch Stephen A's World. Awesome stuff, Stephen A. Can't lay it out better than that. Appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you, guys. All the best to y'all. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it.
Stephen A. Smith giving us the straight talk, to say the least. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. In just moments, he may have been able to be a little bit late arriving, but he has opened many, many eyes at training camp already. That and more. We'll get to calls as well at 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, on Russell Westbrook going to L.A., and that laid it out about as brilliantly as you can. It's Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
I thought he was a working class hero, and I wanted to sit there and applaud.
I wanted to help the organization, maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated.
Oh, God, I love Aaron Rodgers. Let me help you learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, was this Scrooge? Like, what is he, Scrooge? He going back and show everybody what they did wrong? Stop it.
Oh, my God. The ghost of releases past. It's John Kuhn showing him around.
It's John Kuhn robbing a 7-Eleven because they cut him. 30 years from now. John, is that you?
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. All right, my friends, it is time for some audio files, so let's hit it.
The audio file. The audio file.
We'll get to Aaron Rodgers in just a moment, but first up, Sal Palantonio checking in. Zach Wilson, we were giving the Jets a hard time last week about not getting him to camp on time over some offset language and such.
How does SpongeBob go? 18 hours later.
There he was, and apparently he's making quite the impression. Here's our Sal Pal.
Watching Zach Wilson for the first time live is a total experience. He's different. He's definitely different. The ball explodes out of his hands quite fluidly. He's got tremendous footwork, infectious amount of energy. The skill set is elite. I just watched him throw a Patrick Mahomes pass, a quick release on a bubble screen, and I can see why coaches and scouts compare him to the Kansas City quarterback, because he has a lot of the same attributes. An interesting blend of elite skill set, intensity. Corey Davis said, you know, he's really hard on himself, and that means he's going to go a long way in the NFL, but he likes to have fun, too. So he's an interesting blend of skill set and approach to the game that I think gives him a chance to be successful.
That is an awful lot for a guy who's in his first training camp just a few days in. Is this roll your eyes, Bart, or is this I'm on board, Bart?
Sal, pump your brakes just a little bit. You've been looking at Jalen Hurts for the last 6 months, so I understand when you haven't seen a decent arm. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Yeah, you know, I was at that same camp on Saturday. Listen, the kid is going to struggle a little bit. The practice before, he was beating himself up because he threw a couple of interceptions. Guys took advantage of some errant passes. And you know, the next day, he was able to hit Elijah Moore for a big bomb. You can see the strong arm strength and the ability to make teams have to defend the vertical width of the vertical and the width, horizontal width of the field, which opens up, you know, more holes because his arm is elite. But, you know,
Let's not turn this into Justin Herbert last year.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what people thought about Jeff George the first time they saw him throw the ball, too.
Oh, boy. You had to invoke Jeff George. Are you trying to kill the Jet fan right now?
I just want them to pump their brakes. That's a little bit.
Okay, but that's more than pumping your brakes. That's slamming on your brakes in the middle of a traffic jam. I mean, for Pete's sake. Then there's Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, he's been in the news a bit lately. You might have heard.
Really?
But he does not want anyone at all to misconstrue that he is all about 2021.
How good is it to walk back on this field and just be back out here with your brothers?
I mean, it's the best feeling. It was a little strange, I think, day one, just because I was gone for the entire offseason and contemplated my own future and the possibility of playing somewhere else as well. But when I'm back here, I'm 100% all in, you know. And you know me, you know what I'm all about. I love my teammates. I love competing. I do love practice. You know, I love to go out and give it to the young corner when I can and get after these guys, talk a little smack. Especially with a new D coordinator in here, we got to let them know how it goes around here. You know, it's good to be back. Oh, yeah.
Bart, your response?
Listen, when you listen to it and you forensically break it down, he loves his coaches, he loves his teammates.
Yeah.
Don't love the organization.
No.
Still a little subtle little jabs. He didn't say, hey, man, I love this organization, I love the team.
I think Gutekunst is German for dead to me.
What was he supposed to say? I mean, I think he's having fun. You know, quarterbacks have the easiest practices out of everybody. They can't get hit. They don't really have to run. You know, when they do run, it's just for exercise so they can be vain, so they can look good in their uniform. You know what I mean? So, like, of course it's fun for him. And, I mean, he knows that this is the last ride. You know, potentially, because I don't know what happens if they play well. He's giving you the Da Vinci Code about how to make him happy, allow him to pick the players that he wants, and, you know, give him some job security, which means trade Jordan Love. I mean, I think Indianapolis has an availability, you know, going on right now. So, I mean, We'll see how this season goes. If it's a disappointment, I think Aaron Rodgers stays with it. But if they win a Super Bowl, I can't imagine him walking away from winning the Super Bowl and going somewhere else.
After practice, why don't you let him get on the phone with the Colts front office?
Yeah.
Make the deal himself.
Just say hi.
Yeah, no kidding. God. The one thing I will say is, you know, he didn't exactly make great points the other day about some of the guys that were released early because, yeah, they didn't go somewhere else.
And play nowhere.
And or if they did, they didn't do anything.
Yeah, Julius Peppers was 177 years old. He played in Carolina for 20 years.
Aaron Rodgers is not making Julius Peppers a better player. You know?
John Kuhn, like, come on, man. Sometimes, you know, it's like seeing your dad get knocked out when you're used to having somebody that's coming through and they can make those blocks. And then when they come through and you see them going night-night, it's time to let them go.
The last one, and that's Buster Olney. And this was just crummy to see the other night. Fernando Tatis Jr. injuring his shoulder on Friday night for the Padres.
At the time of his original injury, I talked with doctors and with executives with other teams who said immediately, you know, at some point he's going to need surgery on that shoulder. For the first time, the Padres acknowledged that yesterday. In fact, what they said was it's possible that he will have to have surgery before he plays again, that this could take him out for the rest of the year. Now, the best case scenario for the Padres is that after he spends his time on the injured list, that he can manage this and play the rest of the year. Obviously, the loss of Tatis Jr. at this point is the favorite to win the National League MVP would be devastating. Someone who leads the National League in home runs, in runs, and stolen bases.
Put some dirt on it, man. I don't want to hear that.
Oh, come on.
This is non-throwing arm, right?
Right, but you're still swinging a bat.
Yeah, but swinging a bat doesn't hurt your rotator cuff or anything like that. That stays. We used to have like this little shoulder harness. It's like a little gator thing. It doesn't allow it to get too far above your head. What happened is when he slid, he put it out there and it exposed his labrum and his rotator cuff. So I mean, he's gonna have to be smart about sliding, that way again. Or learn how to slide on his other side, which is a little weird. But I think it could be manageable. You know, I don't know if they have to. You know, it's not, as long as it's not a Chris Webber keeps falling out type thing. Remember, Chris Webber played and his shoulder kept falling out. So I think he can make it through the season and then just address it in the offseason. I mean, this is an opportunity where the Padres potentially can be the team to beat. I mean, if the Dodgers falter, they're a very talented baseball team. And you never know what's going to happen with these pitchers that they brought in. They may or may not perform. No Trevor Bauer, and Seager and all those guys have struggled this year. Kershaw back is just one flare-up from being done. So, I mean, if I got to shoot it up, I shoot it up for this.
I understand, but they're not taking surgery off the table. That would stink. That would really stink.
Put some dirt on it, man.
If he couldn't play. All right. Bart Tatis, toughen up.
Yeah.
It's the summer of Dash Pass, and members are getting $10 off groceries, alcohol, and pet food because summer! Try Dash Pass for free and get year-round savings, exclusive menu items, and zero delivery fees now in the DoorDash app. Terms and conditions apply. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Still a chance for another storybook ending in Tokyo, perhaps one that we did not see coming just days ago. What are we talking about? ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on car insurance. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott. The Olympics surprise is next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
Weekend for the Red Sox got swept by the Rays, including on Sunday Night Baseball last night. And they didn't get Anthony Rizzo either. And now they're out of first place. The Rays are by a game and a half. Your Sunday Night Baseball recap brought to you by Summer. By the Samsung Galaxy, you won't be able to go back to mediocre after this. So are you ready for this life? Find out at Samsung.com/reserve. It is Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott with you. And it was good to see this news that Simone Biles will compete in the balance beam tomorrow And as we know, she pulled out of the all-around team competition, of the all-around, and of a couple of the individual events. But she will perform the balance beam. And I don't know if you saw this, but she put out a couple of videos basically showing what the twisties look like, or the yips version in gymnastics. And I don't blame her one bit for bailing
out. Yeah, because people don't realize when they practice and they land in foam. But that's a real surface when it's live. And she put out the videos of her, and I did see it, of her falling, landing on her back. And it's like, if I do this, like, I can physically hurt myself, especially you talk about the pole vault, or you taught me the vault, you know, running there. You've seen people run full speed, misplace their feet and running. What's the guy that the famous one where he hits his chest on the vault? All the powder comes off his hand. And
I don't remember
like
his
he
name.
Was throwing a smoke bomb.
I remember
like
what you're talking about.
Like he in Snake Eyes with a smoke bomb or something. Like he was a ninja. Like, oh. But that's going to leave a bruise. So, listen, I'm glad that she's in a mental space where she feels like she can, you know, perform and give her best effort. I think this is more about her, you know, continuing her healing and saying, you know what, I'm not going to let it defeat me after she's had time to kind of get her mind together.
Yeah, this to me, I've really been kind of blown away by the people that not the ones that didn't understand it, but didn't want to open their minds to understand it even after the fact. Because it's one thing for your immediate reaction to be that an athlete is supposed to compete and an athlete is supposed to go after it. But then when you really start to understand what's going on behind the scenes and what's actually on the line, breaking your neck, being able to walk in, and there were still people that were saying, well, you got to get out there and compete.
Like, stop. It's Olympic gold. Like, man, she's already the most decorated Olympian, I believe, damn near, in the United States anyway. I mean, she got nothing else to prove. I mean, her resume speaks for itself. Anytime they got it, they don't know how to qualify the move. Like, the move you did, nobody else can even attempt, men or women. They just call it the Simone. Like, man, what else you got to prove, baby? I dropped the mic on, you know, this move is called me.
Yeah, exactly. Has all the management stuff turned the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare? Take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. Quickly, we have about a minute left. Would you ever, if you were competing, share a gold medal with somebody else? This weekend in the high jump, two competitors who were friends, one from Qatar and one from Italy, asked if they could share the gold medal instead of having a jump off, and they said, yes, you can share the gold medal.
Wacky D.
Exactly! Thank you!
What kind of Gaylord Focker type of stuff is this? Giving out ninth place trophies?
Thank
what the hell
you.
Are you talking about? No, that can only be one, like Highlander.
Even if it's
you
your friend.
You should have started a damn show with this.
Thank you. Even if it's your friend, I'm sorry. I'm going to hold that over you. I want to win.
You know what I'm saying? Stop it, man.
Thank God.
Go get you a silver somewhere, chunk.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what?
Can
you and me, sometimes
it?
We are just right on the same page.
Can we share it?
I absolutely love it.
Holla.
And there's a reason you're my guy. ESPN Radio.
Baby Buddha. Barskin.
Outrageous.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.